praise the Lord. Let's stand today. Go down, just read the scripture to open the service. Go with me to Psalms 149. Song is praise of the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him and made him. Children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a word of prayer as we just welcome the presence of the Lord in this place. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have to stand in your courts. What an honor it is, Lord, to be here tonight. We come, Father, with the spirit of expectation, believing that you're going to speak to us and minister to our hearts and our needs. If there is any that's sick here, we believe that they can be healed. God, if there's any seeking the Holy Ghost, we believe that they can receive it tonight. Lord, whatever we stand in need of, we believe that you're here to meet us at the point of our need. We thank you for the saints that have arrived. We ask that you give traveling mercies to those that are still on the way. And Father, those that are unable to be with us tonight, look upon them as well. Pray that you bless the minister as he comes to preach the word of God to our hearts. And Father, may we create an atmosphere that your spirit would be welcome in this place tonight. We commit this service into your hands. Hide us all behind your cross. Don't let us be seen, but may Christ be on display tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.
Of all days, oh, so highly exalted, oh, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came, humbly you came to the earth you created, oh, and all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to. Hallelujah, here I am. Oh, and here I am to say that you're mine. Hallelujah, come on, say, you're all together lovely. God, you are all together. Oh, you're all together wonderful too. Here I am to worship, Savior. I am to worship. Come on, say here. To bow down, here I am. I am to say, hallelujah, you're my God. Oh, and you're all together lovely. Yes, you are, Jesus. Oh, you're all together wonderful. Hallelujah. Wonderful to me. Come on, I'll never know. Oh, and I'll never know. Oh, how much. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, to see my sins upon that cross. Come on, think about it tonight. Oh, I'll never know. Oh, how much it costs. Yeah, to see my sins. Oh, upon that cross. Come on, one more time. I'll never know. Oh, I'll never know how much it costs. How much it costs to see my sins. Oh, upon that cross. Hallelujah. So here I am to worship. Oh, so here I am to worship here. I am to bow down. Yeah, here I am to say that you're my God. Yeah, you're all together lovely. Hallelujah. You're all together worthy. Oh, you're all together wonderful to me. Come on, give him praise in this place tonight. Lamb who was slain, holy, holy is he. Come on, let's just worship him tonight. Oh, sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Come on, let's sing that again. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the, oh, Lamb who was slain. Oh, holy, holy is he. Oh, sing a new song. Well, to him who sits on, oh, heaven's mercy seat. Oh, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Oh, who was and is to come. Yeah, yeah. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. Lord, you are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbow, oh, of living color. flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing enough, glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Oh, everybody say, hey, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. Oh, who was and is to come. Hallelujah. Hey, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. Oh God, you are my everything, and I will adore you. Come on, one more verse. Feel with awestruck, filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, awestruck wonder, Lord, at the mention of your name. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water. Such a marvelous mystery. Oh, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God. Oh, who was and is to come. Hallelujah. Oh, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. Oh, you are, and I will adore you one more time. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord, who was and is to come. Hallelujah. Oh, with all creation, praise to the King of Kings. God, you are, and I will adore you. Oh, Jesus, I adore you. Jesus, I adore you. Oh, say, I adore you. Come on, everybody, say that. Oh, Jesus, I adore you. Jesus, I adore you. I adore you. I adore you. One more time. Oh, Jesus, I adore you. Jesus, I adore you. Yes, I adore you. Hallelujah. Let's worship him tonight. He's worthy of our praise. God, we glorify your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. We adore you, Jesus. We adore you, oh God. Amen. Amen. Let's just do one more song tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's put our hands together. I command my hands to praise the Lord. Oh, I command my hands to praise the Lord. I command my hands to praise the Lord. Oh, I command my hands to praise the Lord. Oh, hands, you got to praise the Lord. Oh, hands, you got to praise. Oh, hands, you got to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hands. I command my feet to praise the Lord. Yes, I command my feet to praise the Lord. Oh, I command my feet to praise the Lord. Yes, I command my feet, oh, to praise. Say, feet, feet, you got to praise. Hallelujah, feet, you got to praise. Oh, say, feet, you got to praise. Oh, say, hallelujah. I command my spirit to praise the Lord. Oh, I command my spirit to praise the, yes, I command my spirit to praise the Lord. Oh, my, I command my spirit to praise. Spirit, spirit, you got to praise. Spirit, you got to praise. Spirit, whether you feel like it or not, Spirit, oh, come on, I command my mouth, oh, to praise. I command my mouth, you gotta praise. I command my mouth, oh, to praise. I command my mouth, yes. Oh, say mouth, mouth, you got to praise. Hallelujah. You got to praise. Mouth, oh, you got to praise. Say mouth, yeah. Oh, say spirit, spirit, you got to praise. Say spirit, you got to praise. Say spirit, oh, you got to praise. Say spirit, oh, you got to praise. Say body, body, you got to praise. Say body, body, you got to praise. Say body, oh, you got to praise. Say body, oh, come on. Say hands, hands, you got to praise. Say hands, you got to praise. Say hands, you got to praise. Say hands, hands, you got to praise the Lord. Clap those hands and give them praise tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Turn around and greet somebody. Say, I came to praise the Lord. Amen, I came to praise the Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Let's have the brothers just prepare for tonight's tithes and offering. I just want to announce once again tomorrow the youth service will be at 2 p.m. There, amen, in Sarasota tomorrow at House of Fellowship. So look forward to the service on tomorrow. Keep that in mind. Just good to have Brother Danny and, amen, his precious wife, amen, with us tonight. Just bring him Brother Dwayne, amen, and his precious wife as well, Sister Lawson. So good to have them, amen, here in fellowship with us tonight. I'm just looking forward to all that God has in store. Amen. I believe tonight will be special for everyone that pressed their way out. And I'm just under expectation. And this weekend as a whole, I'm looking forward to what God has in store. So, I mean, let's have the brothers come at this time, and amen. We'll you can just come, brother.
Amen. And we'll take tonight's tithing offering, and then we'll. Praise the Lord. Sister Rebecca is going to come, amen, at this time and give us a special tonight. Praise the Lord. The Lord. He's worthy of all of our praise. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. As we just prepare our hearts for the word of the Lord tonight, we're under expectation of what the Lord wants to speak to us through Brother Lawson. I was telling him, I remember the first time he passed through, we were in a different building. It's over 8 years ago, I know that, and I remember that night he came and he just preached, and his wife and I believe his two kids at the time, when they came through and he preached the message, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," and that night, right before Brother Wisdom had come to church, he had just lost his job. And he told me that, he lost his job, but rather than stay home and just sulk, he actually came to the house of the Lord just to worship. And Brother Dwayne preached, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." And I said, what a message to hear when you just lost your job, right? Just praise God even in the midst of it. No matter what you're going through, he's still worthy of all your praise, right? And I remembered that very well, and I told him, said, "Brother Wisdom's been doing very well since that time." But it's just moments like that you cherish. And tonight, I believe we're going to get another moment that we cherish. Praise the Lord. So let's just stand to our feet, and amen, let's just prepare to welcome Brother Lawson, amen, to the pulpit. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Worship his holy name. Come on, sing like never before. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. Oh, I'll worship your holy name. Come on, let's sing with all of heart. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Yeah. Oh, my soul. Oh, and worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Oh, I will worship your holy name. Come on, everybody. Sing with all your heart. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
You this evening. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And amen. It's a tremendous time to be with you again. And amen. It's been a long time since we've been by. Brother Jack told me it's been 8 years. I knew it'd been a long time. But we hadn't forgot you. Brother Jack just came up to to Ohio and was visiting with us there. And I heard he was over in Arkansas with our family the other day. And amen. And I know that they treated you good up there. Amen. And so it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And amen, I know you come expecting something from the Lord. Amen. How many would have a special need tonight? And let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for your grace, Lord, and our precious brother Jack, Lord. And Lord, the mercy that you have shown the congregation here and the hearts that have gathered. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for the ministry, Lord, that has been given to this generation and this time, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you just bless this service tonight with your presence, Lord. And Father, Lord, the hearts that have gathered out here and the needs that they have, Lord, I just ask that you bless them tonight, that you would speak to them. You would give us divine direction, Lord. And Lord, that this would be a place that you would have the right of way. And we ask you for your mercy now. Come by this way, Lord. And if there be any glory, we'll give it all to you. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. And may God bless you tonight as you have your Bibles. Man, I'm not much of a singer, and I'm sure not going to try to sing in Brother Jack's church. Amen. I mean, I've heard him sing. Amen. My goodness. Amen. And we sure want to thank Brother Danny and his wife and family bringing us over tonight, and you that's come. And amen, we appreciate that. And amen. I'm getting older, brother. I'm getting older, getting wiser. Amen. John, the 12th chapter. Amen. We want to take here John chapter 12 and verse 21. Man, brother came up to the church there in Ohio and blessed him. Thank you all for loaning Brother Jack to us. Him and Brother Danny came and just tore up the north there, built a fire and blessed the people. And amen. If I could speak Spanish, I'd tell you the title of that sermon. Y'all heard that before. And Brother Danny said the kingdom's going to the dogs. And he preached to the Gentile. And amen. I said, well, if we're a dog, we might as well just worship the Lord and get the bread. Amen. Amen. In John chapter 12, verse 21, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip come and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered and saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. For verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat would fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die and bringeth, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat would fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause I came unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered, and others said an angel spake unto him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. We ask the Lord to bless his word tonight as you may be seated. I would like to just speak to you a few minutes tonight upon the subject. And I'd like to maybe just speak to you a little bit from this. The hour has come for the bride. The hour has come for the bride. Sometimes I've had ministers and different ones say, Brother Wayne said, you talk a whole lot about the bride. But I believe that it is the hour to talk about the bride of Christ. I believe it's the hour of her manifestation. Amen. I believe that the scripture says that he would glorify that name again. And I believe that to glorify the name of Jesus, the Bible said that he would take a people for his name's sake. Amen. So we know that that Gentile bride will be the place where his name is placed. And that will be the place of manifestation in the last day. And I believe that we have had in this generation a great and divine vindication of the omnipotence of the Almighty God. Not in son form, but in bride form. I believe we can say that this is the hour for a manifestation of the bride of Jesus Christ. We are not here tonight presuming. We are not out of season. Amen. But I believe that, we're exactly in order with the hour that we're living now. I believe it's spiritual food in due season. Amen. When we think of this tonight, we think of the prophet telling us in the message of the first seal, he refers to this John chapter 12. And he's just talking a little bit about Revelation 10. And he's talking about how that the Bible says that there's a great thunder in the last days. A thunder roared. And John was told, of course, to not write down what it was, but to seal it up until the seventh angel begins to sound. So that was telling us then when the seventh angel would come, that he would make clear to us what the thunders were. Amen. Now don't get scared tonight. Amen. Brother Branham preached the thunders a long time before anybody else did. So I want to stay with what the prophet taught about the thunders. Amen. Amen. When we get scared of something that God's prophet has taught us, then that means the devil has done his job. And he put a scarecrow up against some of the best material that's in the entire scripture. Amen. And we find that the prophet told us that when that seventh angel sounded, that this mystery would be made clear to the church. Amen. Now, if someone's still teaching this as a mystery, they miss something. Amen. This mystery become a history lesson to the church of the living God. We're not wondering what it is any longer, but we're standing in the place that we know that we know that we know what it is, and the hour has come for it. When the prophet of God said, you said what happens without a meaning. Nothing happens without a meaning. So when the thunder roared, he said, you said, wonder what the thunder was. Amen. So he said, let's just turn to John chapter 12 to find it out. Now, if you'll listen real close, and then you won't have to wonder anymore what it is. He said, Jesus answered, said, the hour had come the Son of Man to be glorified. Now, you're at the end of the age. Here's the ministry ending. The hour has come the Son of Man's to be glorified. But what about the hour that was to come when the bride must be taken away? What is happening? The hour has come that time shall be no more. The angel is ready to set his foot upon the land and the sea and a rainbow over him. Time's run out. Besides this, he's raised his hand and swore forever that time would be no more. What has happened? How perfect is it sworn in a sworn affidavit to the church that the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. That's the hour we're living in now. The Son of Man is to be glorified again. Amen. But this time not as the Son, not as the bride, but the bridegroom, but as the bride of Christ. Amen. And we find that there in the scripture is a symbol called a thunder. Now, I'll not stay here a long time. We just want to clarify something. God had something in his mind to begin with. God was thinking about something, and he revealed it to John, but not in his original thought. He gave him a symbol of what he was thinking, meaning, I'm thinking something, John. I want you to record something, John, but I'm not going to tell you what it really is. I'm going to give you a symbol to put there that stands for something else. Now, I'm not a very smart guy, but we used to have algebra in high school, and they would put A equals B plus C squared or something like that, you know, and they just put a letter in there that was a variable. Amen. In other words, A stood for something. Amen. B stood for something. Amen. They didn't tell you what the something was. They just called it A. And we find that God didn't tell John what it was. He just called it a thunder. Amen. And so there would be a place in the scripture that something was going to happen, and he was using a symbol. But if there was a symbol there, then there had to be something God thought originally of what it was. Now, we find out when Moses come down and offered a lamb, and he gave a lamb to the church, he gave that as a symbol because God was thinking something. Is that right? When Moses said, slay the lamb, that was a reason he slayed the lamb, because God was thinking something. But it wasn't time for the original thought. It was only a substitute and a symbol until the original comes. Amen. When they were down there slaying that lamb, God was thinking in his mind of the slaying of his own son, Jesus Christ.
It was only a symbol of a reality. Brother Bram said symbol started as a reality in the mind of God, become a symbol recorded, and then it becomes a reality later. Maybe put it to you like this. We record this sermon tonight. It's going to go on a disc back there. That disc is a symbol of what's been spoken from the pulpit. You can hand somebody that disc and say, here, Brother Wayne Lawson preached on the hour has come for the bride. You can hand them that disc, but all they're holding is a symbol that something has been spoken. But when you put that in a player, it takes the symbol and puts it back in the original. God spoke something to John that could be recorded in symbol in the book of Revelation. And you've read the book of Revelation, which is only the symbol of what God was thinking. But he said, someday I will send the seventh angel. And when it comes across his lips, you will not hear the you won't hear the symbol, you'll hear the reality of what it really is. Amen. And we wondered what it was. Come on, church. This was the job of the seventh angel to tell us what it was. He said, if you read John 12, you won't have to wonder anymore what it is. It was the voice of God then, and it's a voice of God today. The voice of God sounding. Come on now. Not on one scripture, not on Acts 2, not on John 17, not on Luke 17. He sounded on the entire book in the last days. Not theology, not doctrine, but Christ would stand with his own book and reveal to you what the original thought of God was for the end time. That's why the prophet of God said it would bring rapturing faith. He said that's why it'll prepare the bride for rapture. It's because it's the voice of God, what the original thought was on the scripture in the beginning. When you put the head on a man, he ties the entire body together. You can have a hand over here and a foot over here. They're just two individual parts and they're mysteries by themselves. But you put the head on it and the whole body becomes one mystery revealed under one headship. And here we are tonight wondering, what did the Lutherans have to do with the Wesleyans, and what did they have to do with Pentecost? But the prophet of God put a head on it and showed us the entire body of Christ. Amen. We look here tonight and see that a symbol form becomes reality form. Amen. God was thinking something. God was thinking something when he wrote bride in the scripture. God was thinking something when he put the symbol in the scripture. Amen. But we're here tonight not in symbol form. You're here tonight in reality form. Do you see, amen, we're not here tonight writing scripture. We're here living the scripture. Amen. The reality of the bride of Christ. Amen. What they wrote about, what they talked about, what they looked for, you actually are that very thing sitting in the church tonight. God's great mystery revealed. The very symbol in a reality form. Amen. Do you remember now the prophet of God said a loud noise of the thunder is the voice of God. That's what the Bible said. It was the voice of God. Amen. What's what he says? He says now, when he Brother Bram gets down to the end of the same quote, he stops and he says, now, I'm going to call you bride so you will understand. I'm going to call you bride so that you can understand. You are not a mystery any longer. You are not a symbol in the Bible any longer. The symbol has become a flesh reality tonight. You can turn and look at a physical manifestation of the Word of Almighty God. Oh my, if you had the time, we could reach back in the zodiac and show you the very stars spoke of your coming. You can look in Enoch's pyramid and you can see that there was a capstone has to come. You can look in the Bible, the book of Revelations, a bride has to come. Amen. You can look in the Bible, you can look in the pyramids, you can look in the stars, you can look in the message. The angel of the Lord spoke of you. Every bit of the scripture spoke of you. But here you are tonight, amen, and you are actually a manifestation of that which has been so spoke of. And maybe you don't recognize tonight. Maybe you don't realize tonight who you really are. Amen. But the whole earth has been waiting 6,000 years for the manifestation of the sons of God. You look at one another and say, what's the big deal? But when the seals were opened up, the angels started and they got silent to see what was going to be. Here's the manifestation, a living manifestation of scriptures that's been laid in this Bible since the beginning of time. to think tonight, amen, the prophet of God said, I'll not call you church, I will call you bride. What has the world been looking for? They've been looking for a bride. You're going to give him something no other church could give him. You are going to keep not one word, not two words. You're going to keep every word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth. And let me ask you, when has there ever been another age that they've had every word? But here you are living a manifestation of every word. Amen. This is not one verse. This is a book revival. This is a word revival. This is a word bride. In this generation, the prophet of God said it'll take this to wake her up. In the third seal in 1963. Now, I could go through a long time with manifestations, but you all know for sure the dead had already been raised. Blinded eyes had already seen. Deaf had heard. The lame had walked. Amen. The greatest tents in the world had been filled up. Storms had been spoken to. Amen. The powers of demons had been broken. And the prophet of God said the bride ain't had a revival yet. Oh my, the bride ain't had her revival yet. Amen, but notice what he said. He said no revival, no manifestation to stir the God bride yet. He said we're looking for it, and it'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. Think about it, to wake her up again. Amen. Look at what he says. It's going to take a prophetic utterance to wake up this bride. She's been laying in the Bible. She's been there now for thousands of years. Man has looked at her and wondered, could it really be? Could there really be a people that's like what's being prophesied in the Bible? But it was in the book of Ezekiel. God took Ezekiel out on the mountain and showed him a valley of dry bones. He said, can they live? Can it be? And Ezekiel had enough sense to tell God, Lord, you know, in your foreknowledge, you know if this is just a myth or a symbol, or can it really be? And the prophet of God heard those beautiful words, prophesy, prophet, and these bones shall live. And he began to prophesy. You see, God knew it would take a prophetic utterance to make that dry bone live. And God knew it would take a prophetic utterance. It would take a preacher who had a prophetic word to bring a bride out of a symbol into reality. How could we know what to be without the prophet to teach us what a bride was? Somebody told us what that true bride word was. Somebody solved the mystery of godliness. Somebody told us what the true church was. Amen. Somebody had to wake her up. Amen. What did that prophet do? He caused a breath to come upon the church. It was a breath of inspiration. It was a breath of life. And it filled the church of the living God. The inspiration of the scripture. The inspiration of the hour. Come on, friend. We're not talking about a bunch of theology. We're talking about something that'll make you live. Something that'll make you be that word bride. The inspiration of life. That's what happened when Abraham met Melchizedek. Amen. There was an H added to his name. If you look in the book of Psalms, you'll find that the alphabet of the Hebrew language is there. The fifth one in the Hebrew alphabet is the letter H. And when they pronounce H over there in Israel, you know what they say in the Hebrew? They call it a Abraham. They said that the home was added whenever they added the H to Abraham's name. And I was talking to one of the Jew rabbis over there, and he told me, he said, you cannot pronounce Abraham's name without breath. He said, when you come to that H, you have to put your breath into it. He said, to make it make a pronunciation, that which God put in him. He added the breath of life to Abraham's name, which took him into a seven letters. Oh, Church of the Living God, it was under a seven-letter messenger whose name was Branham, that the breath of life would come into the scripture, and out of the scripture would come a manifestation that has been laying there for 2,000 years. What could make it live? What could bring it out? What could turn the lights on? Theology couldn't do it. Raising the dead couldn't do it. Amen. Healing the sick couldn't do it. It took the Bible promise of Malachi 4. And when he began to prophesy, a bride began to raise out of the earth and come forth in manifestation. I'll tell you something, friend. A prophetic utterance is needed today. People say, what do you need with a prophet? We need it to live. We need it to be the bride of Christ. We need it for manifestation.
You see that prophetic utterance. There will be no rapture without prophetic utterance. There'll be no body change without prophetic utterance. There could be no bride without prophetic utterance. Somebody had to prophesy of the scriptures under this age. And out of there come a bride, a prophet of God. Amen. That brought a bride to manifestation. I think the prophet says it very clearly. It'll take this to wake her up again. So some people took this quote and went on a tangent with it. And they said the bride ain't had no revival yet. And we're going to come forth with some manifestations and cause a bride to come. Now you tell me what manifestation you're going to do to excel that which had happened in the prophet's ministry. Not one manifestation, but there was something promised of the seventh angel that he would do, according to Recognizing Your Day in its message in 1964. Brother Branham began to say that everybody was looking for an awakening. He said, there's a great paper that keeps crying. We need a revival. We need an awakening. They knew they needed a prophet of God. And there he was standing right among them. He said, what is it? He said, they feel the pull of the hour. They feel the pull of the hour. They know something is supposed to happen in this day. They can feel the Spirit. They know something's supposed to take place. He said, they feel the pull of the hour, but they have not recognized what's been done. In 63, he said, no revival yet. Waiting for the revival. 1964, he said, they haven't recognized what's been done. He said, they know something's supposed to happen. They're looking way off in the future. He says, when it's already happened right by you. Can you imagine people that was in the greatest revival? The Lamb took the book and stripped the mystery away from the scripture and taught us things that man had never known before. And they were saying, we're looking for a revival. Well, I'll tell you this, friend. When I came into this message and heard the message of the hour, I stepped into the greatest revival that's ever struck the face of the earth. And I've been in revival ever since that day. People say, where's the bride revival? I'll tell you where it's at. I am the bride revival. I am a manifestation of the very bride of Jesus Christ in this generation. Somebody said, well, Brother Wayne, you ought not say that. The prophet of God said, your faith ought to say, if there's only one person going in the rapture, I'm going to be that one. If I can't get that high, brother, get a step ladder and climb up tonight and make your confession confess what the Word has already said about you. Amen. Can you say what the Word said about you? I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm not a Baptist. I'm not a Methodist. I am a part of the bright member body in the last day that was to come out of the Word of the hour. The hour has come, not for a substitute, not for partiality. The hour has come for the Scripture to live under inspiration. Living under the breath of God. Living under power. Living under manifestation. Where do we get this kind of life? Where do you get this kind of life? You don't get it on your own. You can't study this out. You can't go to some school and get it. You can't go to seminary and get it. Amen. But the prophet of God said Revelation 10 and Malachi 4 is going to do two things. Just one angel, and he's going to do two things. He's going to turn the heart of these children back to the faith of our apostolic fathers. He said in number 2, he's going to reveal the mystery of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are, hallelujah, don't you love that? Which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. Oh, wait a minute. You mean it ain't this and it ain't this and it ain't this? Hey, man, I want you to hear thus saith the Lord. They are the revelations contained in the seven seals, and it will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that will literally turn your heart back. Then persecution is not going to turn your heart. Tribulation is not going to turn your heart. Some great minister is not going to turn your heart. But when you see that God has unveiled the scripture in this age and shown you where you were, where you come from, and where you're going, there'll be a bride rise up, say, wait a minute, I was in him to begin with. How could I be back and not be in him in the end? I'll tell you, friend, These literally will turn the hearts of the Pentecostal fathers back. They will turn the children back to the faith. Then we find out that the very thing of inspiration, the prophet of God said, will come under, not under the beast, not under a man, not under a lion, but it will come in eagle time. Come on, friends. Hey, man, the man lives on the bottom of the mountain. The lion lives on the bottom of the mountain. The ox lives on the bottom of the mountain. But the eagle, he lives up there in that cap of the mountain. Amen. It's the prophetic word, the eagle anointing, that comes to meet the challenge of the hour to cap off the pyramid. Amen. Not just anybody could do it. It'll take the opening of the book to do it. And nobody could open that book but Christ himself. Only the Lamb could take that book. Only the Lamb could open that seal. And the prophet of God said, and what should I do with this Jesus called Christ? In 1963, he said, this book is already opened. It's just waiting for the seventh seal to be identified of the coming of Christ. We're not waiting on the book to be opened. We're not waiting on bride revival. We're not waiting on seven thunders. We're not waiting on manifestation. You say, well, ask them, what are we waiting on? Let me tell you what a prophet of God said. We are waiting on the bride to identify that the coming of Christ was in the seventh seal. It brought him back to the earth again. Come on, church, not in a nail-scarred body, but in a bride body, in the manifestation of the bride of Christ. That spirit you feel that makes you believe the message of the hour. Where do you think you got that? That spirit that makes you put on the clothes you put on, act the way you act, do the way you do, walk the way you walk. Who do you think that come from? It come to make this word live in this generation. The book is already opened. Waiting for the seventh seal to be identified by the coming of Christ. Brought him back to the earth. You see, that's what the prophet of God said. She's got to recognize she is him. You got to recognize she is him. Jesus come through the theophany. That's why he knew who he was. You bypassed your theophany and had to come and meet the Word. And the Word will lead you back to that theophany. That's why he said, when you recognize the Word of God to be eagle food, when you recognize the Word of God to be present truth, when you recognize this message is thus saith the Lord, you have heard from your theophany. Oh, I hear that prophet say, I'm not going to call you church. I'm going to call you bride. I challenge your faith tonight to believe that one time. If there's a demon in your life that's saying that you're not a part, that you cannot possess, you cannot be a part of this, I challenge you tonight to cast down every imagination, cast down your first birth, cast down your ideas, and agree to the Word of God and say, if God said that about me, be it unto me according to the Word of the Lord in the hour that I'm living in. Somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to manifest it. I want to say, why not this church? Why not this hour? Why not tonight? Why not now? There will be a bride without spot or wrinkle. Why not you, brother? Why not you? You say, brother, I can't do it. But what about the blood? You say, I was of the wrong birth. What about the blood? What about what God's done in this hour to prove to you the atonement works? Some people don't think they can do it. Amen. There's a whole bunch of people out here in the message. Don't believe they can be in a rapture because they was illegitimate born. I was with a brother Jim Dalton the other day. He's got a handwritten letter from Brother Branham in the 1960s. His mother, back in the back, his mother's dad, I believe it was illegitimate birth. And they asked Brother Branham the question. We read questions and answers, Brother Branham. What about it? Brother Branham handwritten it back and said, I want you to know we were all bastard-born children. We were all bastard-born under the sign of Adam. He said, but there's been given a new birth now that we could be reborn legitimate under the word of the hour, signed William Marion Branham. I'll tell you what, the devil don't like it, brother. The devil hates it. They've tried to replace the new birth with everything under the sun. But God has called the bride to be born under the word of the hour. Come on, church. We are part of a word birth, a manifestation of Christ being born in this hour. What did he say the manifestation would happen? Revelation 10, he said the word would be born into full manifestation. Oh my, People are looking for all kinds of manifestations when they're missing the greatest one there is, you. The greatest paradox that ever was how could a man have divine nature? Greatest paradox in the world. You take a lion with an elephant nature. It's a paradox. You take and put together a giraffe with a goat. It'd be a paradox. And God said, I will join my nature with you. What a paradox tonight. But by the divine nature, through a blessed promise tonight, that the blood of Jesus Christ could shed and make an atonement for our birth, for our sin, for our decisions. And He could totally claim your life by His blood. Can you imagine somebody could lay a claim on you and say, you belong to me? He could claim every bit of your bad habits, every bit of your works. He could claim your burden. He could claim everything. And His blood is so powerful, He could absolve the whole thing and still remain God. You can't throw anything in the blood that would change it. You can't put anything in the blood that would diminish its power. You say, Brother Wayne, you don't know who I am. You've got to realize what God called. He called William Branham carrying water to a moonshine still. He said, my daddy was not religious. Amen. Amen. What did Brother Branham have to do with it? Amen. He was not the one that was doing the work. But Malachi 4 said, behold, I send unto you Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Elijah had to come. God met Elijah down there and called him. Amen. With a moonshine still water in his hand. A pillar of fire appeared to him. Come on. He had a bad birth of Irish and a mixture of Indian together. It was bypassed. And the Holy Ghost come and give him divine nature, divine love, divine patience. He gave to him the grace of God. And proved by his own mistakes in his life. Proved by the things that he was lived and the mistakes that he made. Some people seem to hang up on mistakes. Sometimes they see a little fault in the message and they just fall apart. Amen. They see a fault in the man, they fall apart. Amen. I'll tell you this, it don't make me fall apart. It makes me want to shout. Because I know something. And the prophet of God said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. He said, do you see, Moses was not a man without mistakes. But God had made a covenant with Moses. And God never left Moses. So Joshua knew, if he stayed with Moses, he's going to stay with me. If he stayed with the prophet of God. Hallelujah, to think about it. He showed up every service. He went to the room with him every night. He stayed with him through the thick and through the thin. He said, lo, I'll be with you always, even till the end of the earth. Not on your good days, not on just your best days, but God said, I will be with you when you don't feel like it, when you don't think you are. His covenant is remaining the same. Woo! Glory to God. Think about it tonight. There's a blood that spoke for you. When you couldn't speak for yourself, somebody spoke up for you. God, the God of Abraham, has said, I have blessed thee, Abraham, and in blessing I will bless thee. Multiply and I will multiply thy seed. Whoever blesses you will be blessed. Whoever curses you will be cursed. Oh my. Come on now. Abraham was not a Jew. Abraham was a Gentile. Come on, church. This is not a Jewish covenant. This is a Gentile covenant. And when the covenant is confirmed, not in the Jewish race, it'll be confirmed in the Gentile race. We're here tonight. We're on the mountain with Abraham. Come on, Isaac was up there, wasn't he? Isaac was up there. Jesus was in that mountain as Isaac. Come on, Abraham was there as a father of faith. But the bride was on that mountain somewhere. Because that mountain was not just another mountain. That mountain was the third pool mountain. It was the last and final climax of Abraham's life. Amen. To think tonight, where are we at tonight? We're up there on that mountain. We had to be on that mountain. Can you ever look over and find where the Bible said a ram appeared in the bush back there? The prophet of God flipped through the pages and all the theologians seen Abraham and they seen Jesus. But they never found the bride in that passage. But when the book was opened, Brother Branham reached back there and said, you see that ram? He said, that's a he, not a she. He said, see, Acts says he will take a people for his name, showing that the word would have to come in the end through Malachi 4 to join the flesh and blood together with the spirit and manifest the bride promise. Amen. She was laying right there in that scripture. God was thinking about you before he was thinking about Abraham. Come on, he said, Abraham, I have established a covenant with you. I have already blessed you. I have already done it. God's going to do this, not you. This is the zeal of God, not your zeal. This is the ability of God, not your ability. You think about it when he was up there. I don't have time to preach in it, but I do have time to say this. He was thinking about you when you're up there. You said, Brother Wayne, can you prove that? Sure I can. There's 7 mountain peaks on the western hemisphere over here in the western part of the United States of America. How many peaks? 7. And there were 3 major peaks, and they were the climaxes of William Branham's ministry. Angel picked them out one day and said, here's an everlasting sign. B-R-A-N-H-A-M, Branham, 7 letters. Amen. Do you know them 7 mountain peaks were there before Abraham was ever on the earth? His name was spelled not with 7 letters. Amen. But God changed Abraham's name to have 7 letters with adding the H to match the 7 letters that would come in the end time. What was first, you or that? God had you in the mind when he was back there writing the Genesis 22. When he put the ram in the thicket, he had a bride on his mind. I will be the provider. I will provide your needs. I will provide the Spirit to make a bride manifest in the last days. She will be a literal spoken word bride. She will come out of the thicket by the spoken word. She will come in manifestation when no man knew she was there, when no theologian understood who she was, what she would be. They couldn't see her in the scripture. But the prophet of God, since the seals are open, he said, our Bible become a brand new book. When the thunders revealed, the bride was always laying there. Just needed somebody that could read her name. Think of it now. One time there was a blind man came to Jesus. John, the 9th chapter, he came to Jesus, couldn't see. Jesus was standing there on the earth that he had created in former times. The same spirit that had created the heavens and earth was standing in that man called Jesus. I believe he created the Bible, said he created the heavens and earth. He was in the world and the world knew him not. He was standing right there. Do you know Brother Bram said when the earth was created, your body was created in the earth? Your limbs were laid out. Like a great architect, when he created the earth, you were actually laying as a part of the dust of the earth. Can you imagine when that blind man met Jesus? He didn't meet him in accident. It was an arranged meeting. Some people say, well, Brother Wayne, these things are arranged. Y'all fix it up. Y'all fix it up. People to be at a certain place, certain time. You know, Brother Bram fixed stuff up. You know, he was to be here and this guy was to be here and all. It's an odd thing. He could tell them sometimes a month before it would happen. It was arranged, but God was the one that arranged it. It was arranged meeting that morning when he walked out there. And he met that blind man in a certain place. Why did he meet him in that place? Why did he meet that man in that place? Why was they standing over that spot? Because millions of years maybe ago, that was the creation of an earth. And right there in the dirt of that earth laid that man's eye. And it was only Jehovah, the Creator, knew right where he was laying in the earth. How long had he been laying there until the Creator knew, I placed you here. And when the man got to that spot, the Creator was there. And he picked up that mud and spit on it and put it right on that man's eye. You know what he told him to do? Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Y'all know that pool of Siloam is the third pool. It's the third pool of a fountain that starts on the outside of the city of David. Go wash in the third pool. There he was. Amen. The third pool bringing clarity of sight to that blind man. When he got the healing of his eyes, you know what they asked him? They asked him very clearly, they said, who is this man Jesus? What's happened to your eyes? He said, now it's a funny thing, y'all being spiritual leaders here, and this man has given me my sight, and you don't know who he is. They went and got his parents and asked them, what about this man? What about what happened to your son? And you know what the parent says? We don't know. We left him blind. That's what a lot of churches had to say about you. When people begin to ask, what happened to Brother Dan? What happened to them? What? Well, I don't know. When they left us, they were blind. We left them blind. We don't know what happened to them. They're of age as them. Oh, you mean somebody is going to come to maturity and know where they got their sight. Somebody's going to be of an age to be able to say, I know where my sight come from. Amen. This one that gave me my sight was a prophesied one to come in this age. Amen. Whether he was a sinner or not, I don't know. Amen. But I know this. Amen. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, I'll tell you this, people got all kinds of confessions about this message. Amen. I don't know about their confessions. I don't know why they say what they say. But as far as me, I was a blind man. I was a blind boy walking in this earth. And the God of Abraham come to me and gave me sight into my body. And now here I stand realizing that this scripture had spoke of me and gave me position. It had been laying here, amen, for 2,000 years. Everybody running around with a Bible under their arm. I had a Bible. You had a Bible. Everybody got a Bible. Amen. But nobody knew where I was in that Bible. Nobody knew how to bring me out and bring me into manifestation. But when I come to this message, I met somebody on a prearranged agreement. He met me on the Word. And out of the Word, he brought a manifestation. Under that third pull, brother, my eyes come open. And I could begin to read the scripture. And I could see that God had me in his mind before he wrote this Bible. The prophet of God said, you're in here. You're in here. Sometime or another, you're going to pick it up and say, Mama, that's me. You didn't get up this morning, look in the mirror and say, there's a Messiah. You didn't get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, my, there's a Messiah looking at me. You didn't get up and say, there's a Superman. Amen. That mirror would never reveal that to you. But grab this mirror and start looking into this mirror. And you'll see the very purpose that God puts you on this earth. Do you see that blind man became of action when he saw the manifestation and what God intended for his life? It put that man in action. And Brother Branham said, it'll put you in action. That's right. When you see the Word of God fulfilled in these last days, it'll put you into action. Now, you can do an action, but if your action ain't steered, then you're working, but your work is in vain. Now, notice the zeal of the hour in the last days. Men are building hospitals. They're building churches. They're building religion. They're doing everything. But their actions are not in the right way. What happened? Brother Bram said it's revealed in the book of Isaiah. When Isaiah saw the cherubim and he had six wings, two covered his feet and two covered his eyes, and with two wings he did fly. He said, do you see? He spoke of humility. He spoke of surrender, humility, reverence, and action. He said, do you see? If you leave off the reverence or the humility, he said, then when you fly, you're going to fly the wrong direction. Now you got to think of this, because to fly the right direction, you have to humble yourself and give a surrender to the message of the hour. You know how it is, how easy it is to humble yourself to bad things. You let somebody get up and call you a devil and beat you down over the head a while, and if you ain't careful, you'll humble yourself to that, and you'll leave the church and say, that's right, I ain't nobody, and there ain't no way I could ever be that, and God's right, that's right, I can't be that bright. You'll get that in you'll humble to that so quickly. Man will humble him life to that so quickly. Amen. You watch a young girl, and you take four or five guys, tell her she's ugly. Next thing you know, she's walking around with her head down. Maybe she's pretty as she can be. But somebody has humbled her and made her thought she was something that she wasn't. Because she will humble to that quicker than she will the other. But here's a prophet saying, if you've humbled yourself to that, why not humble yourself to the message of the hour that says you are the bride of Jesus Christ? If you're going to humble yourself, not to be a prostitute, but to be a virtuous, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. You see, we find out that our actions must be steered. You see, what the message has come to do is to steer the action of the bride to match the manifestation recorded in the Scripture. Oh, can you imagine? Some have received a spirit that will make them the prostitute of Revelation 17. it will steer them that way. Judas received a spirit that fulfilled the scripture and he became the Antichrist. Amen. But the Bible is saying there is an anointing coming in the end time that will fulfill a bride coming of Christ in the human flesh. Now it's up to you. What will you surrender your life to? What will you, if you surrender it to the message, it will put you in the right track. You see, the message is to steer the heart. It is to bring the heart's actions in line with the actions that was on the day of Pentecost. See, that's God's order. Not a big school with a degree, but a living, acting experience of the Holy Spirit. Not fanaticism, but real, genuine Holy Spirit put in action. Amen. Now you got to think about this, because here, amen, we find that these things are right before us, but sometimes we just can't see it. I was a young girl up in Memphis, Tennessee. It's actually in Jonesboro. She was from Memphis, Tennessee. You've been there, right next to Brother Dave's over Walnut Ridge. I grew up there, about 35 miles from the house. And there was a young girl came there. She came on a bus. Brother Ram said that he was at that meeting in Jonesboro. He said, and somebody come and got him and took him outside. He said, because somebody was dying in an ambulance. He said, I got outside. He said, now you couldn't even get hardly through the parking lot. The building was completely full. He said, when I got on the outside, he said, the Lord healed the person in the ambulance. He said, but the problem was, how was I going to get back in? He said, if they discovered me on the outside, what they would do. So they put a coat on. Can you imagine that they were all there to see Elijah? In their mind, he was in that building. So there he was walking in the crowd, and they didn't even know he was standing right among them. The spirit of Elijah was hiding right in front of them. He was walking through the crowd, and Brother Bram said, I heard one girl, and she was crying, help me. He said, I heard that cry. He said, after a little while, he said, I just couldn't take it. He said, so I kept moving over until I got right in line with her. He said, then that girl just bumped into me. Can you imagine? Amen. The grace of God that would move the spirit of Elijah over in the way of a blind girl. He said, what do you need? And she said, I'm needing help. I'm needing help. She said, what is it? He said, I heard on the radio this morning that there was a blind girl that had been born blind, and she come down to these meetings and she received her sight. Said, my granddaddy heard it on the radio. Now faith cometh what? By hearing the word. Something steered them to believe that if they come to the spirit of Elijah, her eyes would come open. So they got on the bus and come. She said, but I got separated from my granddad. And she said, now, she said, I'm trying to find my granddad. Brother Bam said, now wait a minute. He said, you mean you come all the way over here to get your eyesight? She said, that's right. He said, in this modern time, with all these doctors and all this science, and you come to a divine healing meeting to get your eyesight? She said, yeah, I've already been to the doctors and they can't help me. He said, well, what makes you think that this man could help you? He said, well, he met an angel, sir, and the angel told him if he could get the people to believe that nothing would stand in the way of his prayer. He said, you mean you actually believe that, little girl? She said, I'll tell you what. She said, you get me to that man and I'll find my own grandpa. I'll find my own grandpa. He said, I couldn't take it no more. He said, I'm Brother Branham. He said, receive your sight in the name of Jesus Christ. And her eyes come open. He said, what it done was put that girl in action. He said, the next time I saw her, she was running across the parking lot saying I was blind. But now I see. Can you think about the grace that puts you in line with this message? The grace that opened your eyes. Amen. Why couldn't we tell somebody about it? You see, that there is somebody got to tell this message is right. Somebody's got to testify. Somebody's got to get in action in this hour. You say, Brother Wayne, I'm going to let the preachers do it. Maybe the preacher ain't going to do it. Maybe God called you to do it. Amen. You know what? Every time somebody steps back, that means God's calling you forward. Every time somebody turns down an opportunity to praise God and lift up this message, God called you to do it. There was a little woman one time walking by Simon's house, and the Bible said Jesus was not being entertained. Brother Bram said he even got by the foot wash flunky. You talking about a bad name, the flunkies wouldn't even have nothing to do with him. He had such a bad reputation, they wouldn't take the dirt off of his feet. They left him with dirty feet. You know what them dirty feet represented? It was not about the dirt on his feet. It was that they wouldn't wash him because they wouldn't want part of his reputation. He said that dirty feet represented his reputation with the people. He had a dirty reputation. He was supposed to be a prophet of God, but they didn't believe him. God wasn't a prophet. He was supposed to be a divine healer, but they didn't believe it. They didn't want nothing to do with it. They didn't want to be classified with it. They didn't want to be identified. Flunkies didn't want to be identified with it, so they wouldn't wash the feet of Jesus. But there was a little girl come by, and she looked over in the room, and she saw him sitting there, and something struck her heart and said, "Now is your opportunity. Now is your hour come." What was it? The prophet said something was laying in her heart already. He said a few days before that, one of her friends who was a harlot said had been given a story around town that she had been caught in adultery with a man and thrown at the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine what a place to throw somebody? Amen. She throwed him at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible said that when they throwed her there, they accused her before the Lord. And they said, "We caught him red-handed. And this woman is caught in adultery." The Bible said she should die. "What do you say about this?" And Jesus, he didn't have nothing to say. He just knelt down and started writing. "Would it be all right with you if I put it like this?" He just opened up a book. He just started writing. I imagine that first Pharisee said, "How did he know that about me?" When he opened up that book of life, he knew everything about everybody. And he turned around and said, "Now, which of you hath no sin, cast the first stone." And the Bible said they all began to depart, and Jesus wrote in the sand again. He opened up another book. And when he got that one opened, he said, "You see, there's no accusers, and neither do I accuse thee." He had no record of her sin. Go and sin no more. Amen. That story had went from one harlot to another. If you can get to the feet of Jesus, he can take away your sin. He can take away your filth. He can cleanse you of every sin and can bring you. Can you imagine if that story got into her heart when she seen Jesus? She saw nobody was at his feet. She said, "This is my opportunity. This is my chance." And the prophet said she began to wash the feet of Jesus. When she began to cleanse the feet of Jesus, you know what Brother Ram said? He said her brown curly hair, he said, got mingled with her snot and all the oil on her face. He said she was a mess. He said she went hysterical at the feet of Jesus. She was bathing him. He said, what was she doing? By washing his feet, she was saying he's a prophet of God. By washing his feet, she was saying this is a manifestation of the word of the hour. She was lifting up the manifested word of her day. She was washing the feet of Jesus. Maybe many times you've looked at that story and said, "I'd like to wash Jesus' feet." I'll tell you how you could do it. Tell somebody, "This message is from God." Tell somebody, "This prophet is a prophet of God. This is the word of the hour. This is right." Yeah, maybe somebody else won't do it, but God called you to do it. Hey man, there's two parts of that story. One of them said if he knew who she was, he wouldn't let her do that. And Jesus looked up at him and said, "Since I've been here, you ain't done it." And he turned and looked at her and said, "Go, thy sins be forgiven thee." Can you imagine? I want to be on her side. Amen. People might think I'm a bit crazy for lifting this message up the way I do, but I want to be like that little woman at the feet of Jesus. This is from God. This is a manifestation of the word, the hour that we're living in. You see, what it was she was inspired into her action. I believe there's a church in the last day that is inspired into action. Something is pulsating. Something is pulsating down on the inside of you. You know the Bible said that he is the vine, ye are the branches. The Bible says that he is the vine, ye are the branches. He says, see, the only thing that isn't the same tonight is his corporal body, because he's in your body. He is the vine. You are the branches. Now, he's not here in the corporal body. I don't mean he don't have one. That simply means he's here manifesting the Son of Man revealed from heaven. The prophet of God said the reason he's doing it like this is because when that body comes, it's all over. Amen. He's here manifesting in a bride body. He said the only thing that isn't the same is the body. That's right. See, we find that this is the pillar of fire comes. Brother Bram says, what does it do? It produces. It produces life. The same works he did was in the Son of God. See, now it's in the adopted sons and daughters of God. Well, now, wait a minute. I thought the adoption was coming. But here he says the pillar of fire is in adopted sons and daughters of God. So you see, many people today are looking for manifestations that are already on the earth. If they could only recognize who they really are and what they've been put here for, there is a spirit here to lead you into manifestation. Well, if we're adopted sons, then somebody's going to open up the hospitals. Somebody's going to go raise the dead. You know they said the same thing to our Lord? If you be the Son of God, make this stone into bread. Even the devil knows the Son of God can make stones to bread. So if there ever come a time of famine, don't fear. God's going to have bread. Even if you have to say so. But you got to think of this now. Because they're going to say, why don't you open the grave? I've had people say this. If third pulls in the bride, brother, go raise the dead out of the grave right now. If adoption's on, go raise the dead. I said, well, let me tell you, Brother Bram said it like this. He said, there's no Superman ministries on the earth. He said the only and greatest ministry that was ever on the earth was the ministry of Jesus Christ, and he did nothing till his Father first showed him to do it. He didn't have a gimmick. He had the Holy Ghost. Amen. He went into 30,000 and healed one person. Amen. Do you recognize he did not have the Holy Ghost for his purpose? He had it for God's purpose. You recognize the prophet of God said, you give me a church that's so completely anointed until their every action is thus saith the Lord. He said, I will show you a Messiah anointed upon the earth, not one that can raise all the dead, not one that can speak all the storms out, not one that can walk out and say, give me a car and give me a million and give me this and give me that. That's not the Messiah. The Messiah is that one that will say, I will do nothing until my Father show me to do it, but that what he shows me, that will the Son do likewise. Do you see it's identified the same today? This message will take out your wishbone and it'll put in a backbone. This message is right, friends. You don't have to back up from anybody. Amen. You're a part of the supernatural God. The prophet of God said, if there's any part of God in you, he said, when the supernatural begins to move, you're going to move. When the supernatural begins to move, you're going to move. When God begins to move, you're going to move. You can't move. You can't help but to move. Something in you got to move. You take today, we're living in an age. Everybody got cell phones now. But it's the funniest thing because the technology changes so quick. Amen. You take some's got the modern ones and some's got the later ones. Amen. And you watch Brother Branham tell us that science, it's unfolding. He said always has a spiritual side to it. Amen. And you watch how you go back and you got some people carrying around a phone and it's one of them old kind of cell phones, you know. And they'll see a young person walk up with a new iPhone, you know. And a young person will talk to Siri and say, give me directions down to McDonald's and thing. Come up and start telling them directions. Just that quick. It'll talk right back to them. And maybe a person sitting there watching that and they get off in the corner somewhere and they pull their old phone out and they talk to it and they don't talk back. The reason it don't talk back because there ain't nothing in there. But if you got the right equipment in the phone, it's voice activated. Everything's getting voice activated now. You know, houses are becoming voice activated. You walk in, lights come on. Everything's voice activated. Now, there's a spiritual part of that because the prophet of God is telling us that in the last days, it will take the voice of God to wake her up. Amen. It won't be the lame walking that's going to do this. It ain't going to be the eyes opening going to. It ain't going to be tribulations going to do this. It's going to take the voice of God to wake her up. Amen. And the voice of God was sounding when the thunders were sounding. It was the voice of God sounding, waking up the bride. How can you help but to be woken when the Master has been talking to you? Can you imagine? Do you know, it's amazing, because right now, hey man, they had a little something happen a couple years ago in the world, in the realm of marriage. Hey man, you see that back in the 60s, John Glenn broke into the outer space, and he broke into the astronaut age, and what was one man now turned into lots of people going beyond gravity. But you find out they built a space station out there where some people actually go live out there. And there was one fellow who was a Russian astronaut, wanted to get married, and he was in the outer space. You know what they done? They had a marriage, amen, and it was a heavenly bridegroom and an earthly bride was married through voice translation. Amen. He was there, she was here, and they become married by the modern technology. Can you imagine something had come up that a man could be in heaven and a woman could be on the earth and they could be married by the modern technology? And God has brought a message in this hour that gravity has been broken. William Branham broke through years ago, but now there's a bride that has broke through the realms of gravity, and a message has brought a bride. Bridegroom right in her midst to be married in this age. Listen, friend, you are called the bride of Christ in the scripture. It's not only a bride you're called. The Bible calls you an eagle. The prophet of God called you an eagle. You know why he called you an eagle? You know why he calls you an eagle? Brother Bram tells you why. He said, because an eagle is the only bird that can be completely on the bottom, can be right near death, and come back all the way to its youth again. He said back from an old eagle, he said can go back to the young eagle again. It's just an action. I've seen old people with gray hair and whiskers all over their face shout and praise God like little boys that are 15-year-old. I've seen people bound in wheelchairs leap and scream and shout like they're renewed. Why? Because Jehovah renews our actions. He called you an eagle. That wasn't meaning you wasn't going to have a bad time. That wasn't meaning you wasn't going to be a human. It didn't matter that there was going to be days when you felt like you were completely under the load, like you could never rise again. He didn't call you just human. He gave you the symbol of eagle. That way, he could speak your name and you would rise whenever he spoke to you. He didn't say to the devils they would never get you down. He just said that he reserves the right that at any time in your life he could speak your name and he could awaken that seed on the inside of you. No matter your life, no matter where you come from, no matter what kind of place you was in, he called you an eagle. And the Bible said the eagles rise at his command. To think today we've heard the message of the hour, command us to arise. To arise and shine. Amen. Amen. Arise and shine. Amen. God bless you. Won't you rise and shine tonight? Oh, I got enough to continue. I better not. Arise and shine. You say, well, Brother Wayne, if this bride's so important, then why ain't her name in the Bible? I'm glad you ask. People say, well, can our musicians come? People say, well, if this message is so important, why ain't William Branham's name in the Bible? I said, well, you know, if you just take away the New Testament, show me where Jesus' name is in the Bible. Well, I can tell you where it's at. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. The woman's seed shall bruise the head of the serpent. And a branch shall come forth. It's all over the scripture when it's been revealed to you. William Branham's name was written right there. Behold, I send unto you Elijah. You say, well, that's good. Brother Branham's name is there. Where's mine? Behold, I send to you. You were right there in the scripture right next to that prophecy. You were in there. I don't have time to preach it. You were in there with Tamar. That's right. When they tried to call you a harlot, you pulled out your token.
You said the seed that's in me come from him. And what did the master say? You're more righteous than I. His righteousness had become hers. Come on, you're right in there with Esther. Your name's written right there when she run into the throne of grace. Turned the throne of judgment to the throne of grace. And a scepter was handed to her where her voice became equal to the voice of a king. You're right there, friends. Amen. Amen. You're right there in the Bible. The hour has come. I heard the Bible say a greater than Solomon is here. But there's a greater than the Queen of Sheba here tonight. There's a Tamar in the Bible. But there's a greater than Tamar here tonight. Sure. There's an Esther in the Bible, but there's a greater than Esther here tonight. Esther was the symbol. You're the reality. Tamar was the symbol. You're the reality. Maybe I'll get into this tomorrow. Brother Jack, if it could really get in our minds that he was thinking about us. When they lived, he was thinking about you. To think tonight you was on his mind. This was what he was thinking about when he done these things and he wrote this scripture. See, the hour has come that the Son of Man will be manifest again. He will prophesy again. The trail will be ridden again. The name will be manifested again. It'll be manifest right here in these bodies tonight. Listen, I wonder tonight, would you humble yourself to it? Would you say, Lord, if a prophet of God called me the bride, I'm not going to argue any longer. If a prophet of God called me a daughter of God, I will not argue with the prophet. And any spirit that gets between me and what that prophet said, I will condemn it and say it's of the devil. To think tonight that God has given you the word. He's given you the manifestation. See, when he was on the cross, you was on his mind. Let's just bow our hearts. Father, Lord, the enemy would like to lie to the people. He'd like to take their souls into the depths of unbelief and doubt and fear. Lord, every time that the enemy spoke, his influence took the serpent into the dirt. It took the image of Nebuchadnezzar and broke it into pieces. The influence of Satan took a king and put him out in the field on his four legs. But Lord, when you come by, you took Rahab out of harlotry and made her a bride. Lord, you took Ruth out of a field and made her the Lord of the house. Lord, you're always lifting your children. You said that you would build this church. And Lord, here you are building in this generation. You sent inspiration, Lord. There's been a lot of inspirations come. A lot of things has been ministered to the people of God in the last days. But Lord, you give us a prophet with us, saith the Lord. Lord, he told us to kneel down and pray until something moved in our heart and we felt the inspiration that would say that you are here. Lord, we know that's the correct inspiration tonight, that you are here. But you're not just here in the thin air. You're not just here in this room. But you're here in your tabernacle. You're here dwelling and resting in the soul of a believer tonight. Lord, we know you because you have been identified, the identified Christ of the ages. A prophet has pulled you out of the scriptures and plainly identified you. And Lord Jesus, we're believers tonight. We're here, and Lord, we're waging a great battle. There's a great war in the mind of man, our first births and our carnalities and, Lord, the things that we've been taught. But, Father, I pray that we'll not humble that tonight.
I pray we'll lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily beset us, Lord. And let us look forward, Lord, into the promises of Christ tonight and rise in your power and your faith. I pray you encourage these believers here tonight. I pray you breathe inspiration into their hearts that makes them rise in power, makes them rise in reality. Lord, I pray tonight that they leave here something in their heart saying, I'm a daughter of God. I'm a son of God. I pray something gets real to them tonight, Lord, that they've been put here for a purpose, Lord. They've been put here to manifest. Father, I ask for these things tonight. Help us, oh God. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. God richly bless you tonight. Brother Jack, come and sing for us. Hallelujah. God bless you, friends.
Time when he was on the cross,
when he was on the cross, you and I was on his mind.
Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. How many appreciate the word of the Lord tonight? Hours come for the brides. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm leaving here encouraged, and I'm going to agree with the word of God. Whatever the word has to say about me, that's what I'm going to agree with. I don't care what the devil has to say about me. Amen. I'm not even listening to that anymore, but what God had to say through his prophet about me, I agree with that. As Brother Wayne was just preaching, this quote just kind of came back to my heart. Brother Branham said it in the invisible union of the bride of Christ, you are standing completely justified as though you never did it at the beginning. And I'm going to tell you, when I was in my Baptist church, I never heard words like that, right? It was only when we came to this reveal word that God began to reveal who we truly were. Amen. And I thank God for this revelation. And as he was just kind of saying there, and when he was quoting that quote where, you know, the prophet come to do two things, Revelation 10 come to do two things, and, you know, reveal the thunders that was, you know, that was written, and I mean, it was contained in the seals. Say, those divine truths will literally turn our hearts back to Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I've heard this word and it's been revealed to me, I cannot go back to denomination. Right? There's something in me that won't allow me to go back. Praise God. I can't go back to the world. Amen. My heart has been literally turned to Jesus Christ. Amen. Literally turned. I've been connected to Christ. And there's no devil going to disconnect me. Church, I thank God for this word. I thank God for this word. Praise God. Brother, I mean, it seemed like it was only about an hour, but it was an hour worth of power. I tell you what, there was enough in this that it should keep us encouraged for at least 6 months. At least 6 months, we ought to stay encouraged. Thank God for the word of God tonight. The hour has come for the bride. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're standing completely justified like you never did it in the first place. You are the pure, virtuous, sinless bride of the Son of the Living God. Every man and woman that's born of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and believes every word of God stands as though you never sinned at the first place. You are perfect. Now, how are you going to argue with that? Right? Nobody can reach perfection. The prophet said that you are already perfect. Church, I'm going to agree with this word. I'm going to stand with this word. Amen. I refuse to be defeated. I just refuse it. Amen. I thank God for this. God bless you, brother. God bless you for sharing such, amen, with us tonight. And I tell you what, as you start kind of, amen, going through Tamar and, amen, going through Esther, I say, now, I don't think I ever looked at it like that. But every story in the scripture was talking of your relationship with Christ. Every story was representing you. Abraham and Sarah representing you. Right? Everything you look at, it was representing you. It was all in symbol form for you, the reality of it tonight. Church, I thank God. I know it had to be God, because I couldn't have come out of my Baptist church had it not been for the Lord Jesus. It had to be God. Some of us were in the world. It's no way you would have come out of the world had it not been for Jesus. So we thank God for him bringing us to this light, and what a marvelous light that we walk in. No more symbols. It's all reality now. I'm grateful. Let's sing this song. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. My. Let's just worship him as the word has come forth to our hearts tonight. We leave here strengthened and encouraged by the word of God. Amen. Let's sing with all of our heart. Say, he knows my name. Hallelujah. Oh, and he knows my every thought. Hallelujah. And he sees each tear that falls. Hallelujah. And he hears me when I call. Let's have that first verse. Oh, I have a maker. See, he formed my heart. Think about it tonight. Before even time began, my life was in his hands. My life was in his hands. Come on, think about it. Oh, and he knows my name. Say he knows my name. Hallelujah.
Yeah, he knows. Yeah, and he knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls. He sees each tear that falls. And he hears me, and he hears me when I call. The other verse. Oh, say, I have a Father. Hallelujah. Oh, he calls me his own.
Come on, think about these words tonight.
Oh, and he'll never leave me, no matter where I go, no matter where I go.
That's love tonight.
Oh, he knows my name. Say, he knows my name.
Thank you, Jesus.
He knows my every thought. Yes, and he knows my every thought. He sees, oh, each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call.
Come on, one more time.
He knows my name. Oh, he knows my name. Hallelujah. He knows my every thought. Oh, he knows my every thought. Hallelujah. Yeah, he sees each tear that falls. Oh, and he hears me when I call. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, he hears me when I call. I'm so glad he does. Yes, he hears me when I call.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to ask that Brother Danny just kind of come close this out. His brother Lawson was just sharing when we were there in Ohio, just having the opportunity to go and just be in fellowship there with Brother Erickson, and Brother Steeman and I had the opportunity to minister. And there was a sermon that Brother Steeman preached there, The World God Loves. And at some point in time, we're going to have to try to get something arranged to have him come preach that here. Or whatever the Lord put in his heart. But I tell you this much, that if he preached that again, I'm going to get enough notes out of it that I'm going to be able to preach it myself. But I tell you, we just really, really enjoyed that. And, you know, he just kind of really broke into some things about Caleb the Kenizzite. And I say, I don't think I ever seen that before either, you know. But it's just amazing how you just feed from the different ministries. And I got a lot of notes here tonight from Brother Wayne, and I'm going to be using that. I tell you, I really like that part about how Jesus began to write in the sand. And as he's writing, and the way that you put it tonight is that maybe he began to write what these guys had done. So it was very easy for them when after he finished writing, never even revealed it, just wrote it down. But when they read it, when he opened their book and they read it, it was easy for them just to drop their rocks. Oh, my God. And I believe maybe the last thing he wrote for her was forgiven. That's all right, brother. I'm going to use that. So God bless you. Brother Danny, why don't you come and just greet us tonight and close out the service. Let's say praise the Lord as Brother Danny comes.
How many can say it's good to be here? We drove 3 hours to come here, and I don't think I'd rather be any other place than right here. Amen. Amen. A wonderful words of life that was spoken to every one of us. Amen. And it's so easy for us to focus on the negative parts, the negative things, and so quickly the negative becomes our testimony when God wants you to believe this word. Amen, which washes away every sin, washes away every unbelief. And God give us the courage to wear it well. Amen? Amen. Like Brother Caleb over there took a lot of courage to wear yellow shoes. Amen. I want the courage. What? Amen. I want the courage, amen, to wear what I've heard. Because the enemy don't want me to believe that. Amen. And Brother Branham said, amen. A man can live a life so close to God that the devil will have to give up. He'll just say, I don't know what to do with him. And it's as our brother preached, it's not the great big Superman. It's the little insignificant. We're just reading today in Corinthians where the Bible says God chose the weak. He chose the little things. Amen. To do great things. Because the wisdom of God will always confound the wisdom of man. I'm so thankful for the message. I'm so thankful to hear it preached that way. Amen. I just want to say I believe every word of that. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Brother Wayne. Amen. Thank you for coming and preaching for Brother Jack. And Brother Jack, thank you for having him. And thank you, Brother Danny, for being here. I'm just glad to be here. Amen. It was just wonderful. Because what I heard is eternal life. Amen. Amen. Let's just thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, we can say like Peter did, Lord, like Lyle Woods did when he stood with Brother Branham and the Lord had told Brother Branham that he was going to bring something back to life. And Lord, the prophet said there was many spastic child waiting to be prayed for. There's many great needs, but it was a little insignificant fish that would be caught and its guts would be ripped out and thrown back on the water and just lay there and dead. But Lord, it was not insignificant to you. And your prophet said that the Holy Spirit came and told the prophet, stand to your feet, speak life to that fish, Lord. And he done that, Father, and it come back to life and went back into the water again. And Lyle said, oh, it's good to be here. But Lord, we can say it's good to be here because your prophet said the Lord done that to show us he's interested in the small things, Lord. And Lord, tonight somebody could have sat here with a complex or think they're not worthy and too insignificant or went too far, but they heard a word tonight. Lord, if they could believe that word, amen. You said you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Lord, that's not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. It's reality. Lord, it's not even a symbol. It's reality now, Father. It was a symbol down through the ages, but in this hour, it's become reality, Lord, because it's being spoken, Father. We thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for Brother Wayne, Lord. I just pray you bless him. Lord, he has work this weekend. I just pray you strengthen his body. Bless him and his wife, Father. Just give them, Lord, a restful time in the midst of preaching the word. Bless Brother Jack, Lord. Bless his wife, Sister Eric, and children, Father, and this assembly and the work they're doing here for you, Lord. Lord, it's a lighthouse, Lord, that's been placed here by God. We just pray you bless and encourage each one, Lord, and we commit this service to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.